In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. Oh, it's so great to be here with you today on this Wednesday. You know what that means? It's Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Great readings today. Jesus, one of Jesus' miracle healings of lepers, which is actually the theme of both the first reading and the gospel. So we're going to be talking about that today, breaking open God's Word. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're diving deep into God's Word today on Beacon of Truth. And of course, would love to hear from you. You know, some of us have the leprosy of sin in our lives. You know, or we're outcast from people because they see us as pariahs, social pariahs, you know, and God comes into our life. He enters into our life and brings healing. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right. Well, we got an email from a listener on Beacon of Truth. Again, responding to that show, it seems to be resonating with a lot of people, the show about guardian angels. And we have an email from Mari. Hello, Deacon Harold. When do our guardian angels get assigned to us, at conception or birth? Of course, human life begins at the moment of conception. And it just comes to fruition when they come, you know, outside of the womb is birth. But from the moment of our creation, that's when a guardian angel gets assigned to us. And so happy to hear your theme today. Was talking about this with a friend of mine, and we had this question. So at conception, so when human beings come into existence, when again is at the moment of conception, not at birth or not after 3 months or not, what are these people trying to say? It's not really a person, so I mean, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So a man and woman come together and she becomes pregnant. And what is it, a brick or a tree or a muffler or something? And then magically it becomes a person at some point. That makes absolutely no sense. So moment of conception. All right. Also, you know, I mentioned yesterday about the group Rush making the big announcement that they are going back on the road. After the death of legendary drummer Neil Peart, they're going back out on the road again, and they have a drummer that everyone's talking about called Anika Niles, and she used to play with Jeff Beck, and now I've been seeing her everywhere. People are interviewing her. There are other drummers that are doing analysis of videos of her playing and how she's going to fit into Rush. And so far, I'm glad people aren't going to try to compare her with Neil Peart. I mean, you can't compare anybody with Neil Peart. There's only one a legend of a drummer like that. But, I mean, she's going to come in and try and think honor him, but still put some of her own style, her own flavor into the music as well, which I think is the best way to, you know, if you're going to fill in for someone that huge, you know, you want to try and put your own style in there, but also, you know, play the parts as well that people are familiar with, just like Mike Mangini did with Dream Theater. You know, he stepped in for Mike Portnoy for about a dozen years, and he sounded great. I know people were criticizing, he's not, you know, Mike Portnoy. Yeah, he's not. You know, and he shouldn't try to be, you know, and same thing with other players as well, you know, that they're taking over for major figures in bands, so that the band can get going. So I'm really excited to see, you know, and hear her play with them. You know, in the interview I saw with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, they're both excited, you know, and I don't think it's going to be a disappointment, because they wouldn't tarnish not only Neil's legacy, but a legacy of the band by having a drummer who can't cut it, you know, who wouldn't be able to play the parts and play them well. So I think it's going to be an epic return for Rush. And I personally have not seen Rush in concert before when Neil was still alive. So, you know, now I if I'm around again, given my crazy travel schedule, I would love to see them live in concert. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And who else I would like to see live? Every once in a while I do. The people who bring this show every day. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who does social media, Matt Kabinsky, who screens your calls, and, of course, my main man, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I like that you're bringing this back up because I've seen a lot of, like, back and forth on it and actually just watched a documentary on Paramount started doing the behind the scenes or behind the music documentary that VH1 used to do years and years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And so they document kind of the first two albums of Wolfie, who's, you know, obviously Eddie Van Halen's son and now doing his own thing. But in the shadows of big artists or big musicians, big players, we have to let them be their own individual. Like my daddy heart wants Wolfie to be the most amazing musician ever, just because he has so much coming on the heels, and there's so much of the hatred speech. Well, he's not as good as his dad, or he's not as good as his uncle. I'm like, come on. I mean, everybody has their own flavor, their own flair. And if you're a musician or you're a buddy and you're thinking about playing, emulate the people that you like until you create a style your own, and then be your own. It's your own thumbprint. Like, when I'm behind the kit or I'm playing bass, I'm not trying to emulate anybody. Yeah. I'm just trying to play to the best of my abilities and then be creative within what I know. And if there's something I still need to learn, learning it. Same way with our faith. The only way to do that is to continually practice what we know is the right way to do it and then make our own creative elements within that. And it just, I could get on a soapbox for days on people judging other musicians. Like, you know, and then oftentimes it comes from people who've never even picked up an instrument. So how dare you, as a quote-unquote fan, just diss them because they've decided to continue on because someone passed or left the group or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the armchair quarterback. Like, he should have thrown the ball here. They should have ran this play. Like, you ain't out there. You probably never picked up a football in your life.
Right.
And you're out there making judgments. And you're right. It's the same thing with our faith. The priest should have said this in the homily. They should have done that. You know, the parish should have did this way. They should. I mean, all these different things that you don't want to get involved yourself, but you sit back and start critiquing people, mm-hmm. you know. But I totally agree. I just let her light shine, you know, and just let her be her. Like Wolfgang, he's not trying to be his dad.
Nope.
I mean, obviously his dad taught him some stuff, and some of his playing, he does sound like his dad. I mean, part of it is the DNA factor there, but he's not his dad. He's got to be himself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You have to be you. You have to. I totally agree with you 100%, Ace. You have to find your own voice. The same thing with our faith. You have to find your own voice.
Yeah.
I know for me, people sort of criticize me. Say, oh, you're too loud or this or that. I mean, you know, then get somebody else.
Don't come to the show, kids.
Changing for you.
Yeah.
I'm not changing for you, you know. And the other thing is, I don't know if you heard this, Ace, but for Rush, they're also adding a keyboard player so that Geddy Lee does not have to do a double on bass and keyboards. He can just focus on being a front man and playing bass.
Yeah, I had not heard that. But in seeing it with what Sammy's doing with kind of the revival of, you know, trying to the best of both worlds. And so he and Michael are keeping the music alive with Joe Satriani, and they've added this kid who can play amazing keys and can sing parts that Sammy can't. And so they just share the weight, right? It's all about the paying homage to the song, right? It's playing to the best of your abilities. Voices change. I mean, Robert Plant, same thing. He can't sing the high notes anymore. So he lets Alison Krauss do that, or he hires a backup singer to do that. Like, you can still play to your strengths and do what you love and create great things because that's what God calls you to, or that's a passion he's given you. But do not ever let someone else's voice keep you from doing something that you are gifted and talented in. Don't.
Yeah, and we shouldn't do that with priests either. Like, if, you know, that time of year, like usually in the summer, June, July, when sometimes priests change in parishes, and he would say, oh, this new priest, I like other priests. He preached better, or this. You know, don't do that, because then the priest becomes a cult of personality.
Right.
Then people will follow the priest to his next parish. It's about following the priest, not following Jesus. So, you know, just focus on the gifts and talents that the new priest brings to the parish in a new situation.
Amen.
And see how God is going to feed you through him in that situation. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's word for the readings for this Sunday, all about the healing of the lepers. This 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. That Western kind of feel.
Yeah.
What was that movie on the plane? I was on the plane coming back. I was watching, come back from the Denver conference. It was a Western with Samuel L. Jackson or something like that. He was an ex-slave that this guy, he helped him steal some gold. He went back to get the gold, and it was buried in the church or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that kind of music reminds me of the Western.
It's just it's the dustiness of a song. Sometimes you're like, oh, I feel like I'm there. You know, that's it just teleports you.
Yeah, that's true. I love how music does that.
Yeah.
It's so true. Better than any transporter on Star Trek.
That's right. Less messy.
Because the memories and the feelings go with it.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, oh, yeah, it's not just the memories. It's everything that goes with it that's so cool about how music goes. Like you say it all the time, it's like a time machine, the ultimate time machine.
Well, and it's also a nice gauger, because if you can listen to Air Supply and it makes you cry, and then you listen like 4 years later and that same song doesn't make you cry, then you've healed. Like the Lord brought you through all that pain and heartache.
Yeah.
You can just enjoy the song again.
I'm all out of love. So lost.
Sing it.
I love Air Supply. I don't know. I'm kind of sappy when it comes to that stuff. I mean, I like that. I love Strings. I love, you know, the Barry Manilow. And I mean, those songs just, you know, again, those memories that those songs evoke in me of what I was feeling as a teenager and discovering girls and the other and all that kind of stuff was just, just epic. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And it's all about the healing of lepers. And so we want to talk about today is how Christ has come into our life to bring healing to the leprosy within us. Right? Because all of us are sinners in need of God's mercy. So I'd love to hear from you, your story, your experience of how God has healed the leprosy in your own heart. Give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I think we all have our affinity for certain saints, or as you get to know more about them, as you get deeper into your faith, there's a great way for you to do that easily at EWTN.com. Click on Catholicism and you can find out all kinds of great ebooks and different kinds of theologians and doctors of the church that have talked more and more about God and Jesus in ways that we can connect to each other and how that all brings us closer together. So check that out again, EWTN.com/Catholicism to find out more about the saints.
All right, my friends, when you hear that music, that's not Rush. That means it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we take one of the psalms that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, that we hear when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the beautiful hymnal, the hymn book of the Old Testament of our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're continuing our look at Psalm 136. So 136 is a psalm that repeats Every other line of the cola is repetitive. It doesn't happen often in the Psalms, but when it's due, it's epic. And the repeating line is, "For his mercy endures forever." Right? "For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever." You know, when I pray this psalm, it kind of reminds me of the praying the chaplet of divine mercy, right? "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." So this psalm, Psalm 136, book 5 of the Psalms, no prescript or superscript, you know, it starts off, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever." Every other line is, "For his mercy endures forever." Now, again, in the current translation of the Grail Psalms, it says, "For his love endures forever." But actually, in the Hebrew, it's interchangeable. Mercy, love, merciful love. It's all interchangeable because it's four different words for the idea of love, right? There's a hesed, which is covenant kind of love, the exchange of love, life, intimacy, community, making a complete gift of yourself in love. There's ahava, raham. So ahava is a selfless kind of love. Raham is more like when you have like when you pity someone, you know, like gosh, I love them, you know, like the love you give to like a homeless person. When you give something to a homeless person, that love of that other person, but it's more like not self-pity, but you know, having that merciful kind of love towards someone that needs God's mercy. And then there's yedid, which is a romantic kind of love, right? Yedid. So when they use the word either hesed or actually ahava is also used for mercy or merciful love, it's the same. So mercy, love, same thing. And I love that too about our faith, that God sees those as interchangeable. All right, so we're picking up it, and then this psalm also is kind of a historical narrative as well. Talking about the trials in the desert of the Jewish people. And so it talks about through the desert, he led the people, the nations in their greatness he struck, kings in their splendor he slew. We looked at that last time. So we're going to pick up here at right around verse 23. "He remembered us in our distress." Verse 19. So who are these kings that he slew? Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. So it's very interesting the way it does this. Because if you read the text, it says, through the desert, his people, without the repeating phrase, through the desert, his people he led, nations in their greatness he struck, kings in their splendor he slew, Sion, king of the Amorites, Og, the king of Bashan. Right. And that flows well. Right. It tells the story. It flows well. But in between each line, each cola, there's "for his mercy endures forever." And I love that because it shows that every step along the way on our path, on our journey toward God, God's merciful love is there with us and to meet us. You know, I love that God is with us every step of the way on this journey. And that's awesome. "He gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. He remembered us in our distress, for his mercy endures forever." So he gave their land as a heritage. So when you think of that, you think as an inheritance, right? You get a land or a property or money or something like that. But there's something to say about the land itself, right? Because, you know, we talk about, for example, the, Jordan River, right? When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, that if you, were coming into, the faith as a Christian, you were to be baptized. If you were blessed enough to be able to be baptized in the Jordan River, you wouldn't have to bless the water, you know, cause you usually use water that's holy water to be baptized in, except in the Jordan River, because Jesus hallowed those waters with his, when he was in there himself, he blessed the waters when he entered into those waters to be baptized. Right. And so, And so this heritage. So we talk about our inheritance. And what is our inheritance? Heaven. Jesus came into the world and endured all the things that we endure, hunger, pain, sadness. You know, Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. I'm sure he laughed, especially visiting Martha and Mary and Lazarus, you know, his three friends there. And I'm sure they had wonderful times together. And so, but he did all of that so we can get our inheritance, our heritage, which is to share life with him in heaven, right? To share life with him in heaven. Love that. The heritage for Israel, his servant, right? So the heritage is for all the people of Israel and for all of us, right? Yeah, God initially went to the people of Israel, but then he sent Paul, right, the apostle of the Gentiles. And then the apostle went out to all different parts of the world, you know, to spread the good news of God's love and God's merciful love, all right, to all the corners of the earth, of the known world at that time. You know, so this story of God's merciful love is for each and every one of us. And we inherit it when we freely cooperate with his grace and with his love and with his truth. It says, he remembered us in our distress, for his mercy endures forever. Yeah, he didn't forget about us. He didn't abandon us. He didn't forsake us. Again, sometimes it may feel like that, that God has done it, but that's not the case at all. So often, we said this before, you have to just be patient and wait on the Lord. But it's hard to be patient. It's hard to be understanding when you're in pain. You know, whether you're going through physical pain yourself or emotional pain or mental pain, whatever it may be, it's hard to see God's majesty, to feel the presence of God's merciful love in the midst of all that. But he is there. And I've been through that myself. You heard me share a number of times about losing my best friend, Craig, when we were 38 years old, you know, and how devastating that was for me. And that was the hardest time of my life. In a sense that not feeling God's presence in my life. You know, I am aware of God's presence in my life almost every minute of every day. You know, even like I said, when I go on my walks, pray the rosary, I got a bunch of prayers that I do. You know, when I'm traveling, when I'm in the plane, you know, I'm focusing on what I need to do when I land and in the gig that I have, you know, preparing myself for that. You know, any writing projects I have, I'm thinking about that. Like right now, I'm thinking about the presentation I have to give in Steubenville with at the Deacons Conference with Scott Hahn and Dr. Bergsma and a number of others as well. So I'm thinking about that right now. So I'm constantly thinking about being in the what it means to be in the presence of God. And when we do that, that gives us the confidence, even in times of difficulty. We can be assured and have confidence in the fact that God's love is always with us. God's love will never leave us. I love that about the psalmist here. And this is the hope. This was the hope for the people of Israel, and this is the hope for all of us. But here's the thing. We can't keep this good news to ourselves. There are so many people who are hurting that don't know the Lord. And I just can't imagine how they're going to get through whatever it is they're going through without the comfort of prayer, without knowing the Lord deeply, intimately, and personally. So we have an obligation, I think, and a responsibility by our baptism to be witnesses of God's faith and love and mercy to everyone that we meet. Breaking open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the healing of the lepers, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Let's go to the malt shop.
Yeah, yeah. I found my thrill.
Leather jackets and little Dapper Dan in the hair.
Yeah. You know, there used to be gospel songs kind of with this kind of feel.
Yeah.
you know, like back in the day.
Sure.
My father, when he came to faith, you know, stopped completely writing and singing songs secular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the soca, the calypso, you know, the form of calypso called soca that he used to sing.
Yeah.
He completely stopped that and just did nothing but faith-based music.
Mm-hmm.
But it had this kind of feel to it.
Hmm.
Because back in his day, I guess I believe the 50s.
Sure.
Back in his day in the 50s, that, you know, the kind of, well, it was a precursor to gospel, but the kind of the faith-based music had this kind of cadence, kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Some of his songs reflected that.
Yeah, you write what you know. So if this is what he was doing prior, you know, you don't know any other style or that there's a Christian or gospel style. You just, it's in your DNA.
Yeah, you know, and I thought that he would, that when he started writing those songs, they would sound like basically the fast-paced kind of soca with a religious theme. But no, he completely stopped doing that style of music and just focused on faith-based stuff.
Yeah.
But you're right, you write from what you know. And so I said, well, this kind of sounds kind of old, but it's still, I mean, as a, you know, when was I when he came back to faith? I was, I guess, in my 40s. So it sounded a little antiquated to me, but I still liked them. The lyrics were good. And the best part of it was heartfelt.
Yeah.
That's the thing above everything else.
Yeah.
He meant it. And I know how much. The journey that he went through, the struggles that he went through, how much his all of that meant to him. So that's the cool thing there.
Yeah, I'd be amazed to know where his heart was after he would write something, because when you're, because I know for me, when my love of music and my love of the Lord come together, like, it's such a beautiful thing, because I didn't have to sacrifice or write in a obscure, you know, vein or genre of music. I just write what I know. And you express yourself and what comes out. And when those two worlds meet, you know, it's as they, what is it, the movie Eddie and the Cruisers, where they go, words and music.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm Deacon Hal Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're breaking open God's Word for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And these readings focus on the healing of lepers, both the first reading and the gospel today. And so we want to talk today about healing the leprosy within us. Each of us have some kind of leprosy, you know, within us because of the effects of sin. How has God come into our lives? Like, he came into the lives of the lepers we're going to hear about in the gospel today and brought healing from the leprosy within us. Powerful witness today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as we celebrate today, I love saying this name out loud, but Radio Santissimo Sacramento, celebrating 14 years with EWTN, and of course, five stations as they continue with Lorena and the team there. So again, Radio Santissimo Sacramento. So say that three times fast, but celebrating with you and all of those that are supporting your ministry with EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. Grab your Bible. We're breaking open God's Word for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And these readings are wonderful because they focus on the healing of the lepers, both in the first reading and in the gospel. So we were talking today about how has God come into your life to heal the leprosy within you, right? I would love to hear how, because, you know, there's people out there that feel hopeless, that people that feel they can't be forgiven because of what they did. Once they realize, you know, once they come to faith and realize that what I thought was okay, what everybody in the culture was telling me was okay and was fine, was actually not. And often the hardest person to forgive is who? Yourself, right? The hardest person to forgive often is yourself. So how has God come in to heal the leprosy within your own heart, within your own soul, within your own life? That's what we want to talk about today on this Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Patterson on YouTube says, Deacon Harold and Beacon of Truth staff, may God bless you all in Jesus Christ. And let the church say amen. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate that very, very, very much. All right, let's take a look at the readings really quick. So the first reading is from 2 Kings. Many of us are familiar with the story. Naaman went down, or Naaman went down and plunged in. He had leprosy. He wanted Elisha to heal him, you know, just lay some hands on him or just say some words or something like that, and he'll be healed. But Elisha made him go down and into the Jordan River, and he plunged in there, went down in seven times. He plunged himself into the river. And when he came out, not only was he healed, he said his flesh was that like a little child, you know, and he was clean of leprosy. And so he returned with his whole entourage back to Elisha. He said, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Wow. You know, and this, when I hear things like this, you know, who this sounds like? This sounds like Thomas, one of the apostles. I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands in the nail marks, unless I, you know, put my hands in his side. I won't believe that someone could rise from the dead. No, that just can't happen. Same thing here. I'm not going to believe. Go down and plunge seven times. Look, just say some words of healing and heal me. No. But when he obeyed in faith, and he did what Elisha asked him to do, plunged seven times, he was healed, and his skin was like that of a baby. You know, and he said, now I know there is no God. Now he acknowledges the power of God because of the miracle that was performed. Thomas acknowledged the presence of God after Jesus appeared, and he put his hands in the nail marks, in his spear in his side, and he said, my Lord and my God. So these acknowledgments came after manifestations of God's power and God's authority. But what does Jesus say? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, right? Those who don't need to have miracles in their lives to come to faith in Jesus, come to know his love. You know, I know for me, you know, I love going to the holy sites, especially I'm really looking forward in the next week or so here, leaving for Italy on the Eucharistic Miracles of Italy pilgrimage. And we're going to see some incredible Eucharistic miracles. And I cannot wait for that. But for me, I don't need that in order to have a deep faith in Jesus Christ, right? I mean, to me, that's icing on the cake. But the main part is the cake, right? That's the main part. To me, all the miracles, all these other manifestations, first of all, they don't surprise me. People say, "Oh man, did you hear? Oh yeah, yeah, that's just God. That's just God doing his thing. He's showing how awesome he is." Yep. You know, but for me, it's following Jesus and living the faith every day, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging. You know, we're all fighting the leprosy within each of us, right? But when Naaman obeyed in faith and God brought the healing, now he was able to come to faith. And so he tried to offer Elisha a gift, you know, like payment and thanking him for healing him. He said, and Elisha said, no. I'm not going to take it. Naaman kept insisting, but he refused every time. He goes, Naaman said, if you won't accept, then please let me, your servant, have two mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord. So he wanted to take part of that experience with him. He wanted to take the dirt, you know, they were standing on and bring it back to him so he can offer sacrifices on probably build something to offer sacrifice on top of that dirt. So he can have the land as, you know, that experience of that healing and bring that with him, you know, back to his land. Awesome. And that's what we do when we have to bring the experiences of the past into our lives as well. You know, the things that molded us and shaped us into the person that we are today, we bring all those experiences into our present life. you know, and they helped us become who we are today. You know, so and so that's the first reading when Naaman was healed from his leprosy. But we would love to hear from you today how God has entered into your life to heal some pain or heal some leprosy within us. You know, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And the gospel reading is, of course, this is the famous one, the 10 lepers. Jesus entered into, he was traveling through Samaria and Galilee, entered into a village. 10 lepers met him there. Of course, why? Because the lepers could not live inside of the village. They had to live outside of the village. When they saw Jesus coming, they went, but I'm sure they didn't get too close. They stood at a distance because they can't get too close because leprosy or Hansen's disease is a communicable disease. And they just raised their voices. Why? Because they're standing so far away so as not to try to contaminate them and make them ritually unclean, right? Just being in their presence would make somebody unclean. So they raised their voices loud enough for him to hear from a distance. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he just, this is the power of God. Yep. Okay, guys, just go show yourselves to the priest. No waving hands, no laying on of hands, no, just go show yourself to the priest. And so on their way there, because and we're going to talk about this, why they had to show themselves to a priest. On their way there, they were all healed, all of them. But only one came back and glorified God in a loud voice and fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Only one. And he was a Samaritan. Remember, the Jews were supposed to have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Remember the whole thing about the woman at the well who was a Samaritan, you know, and she goes, why, you know, Jesus said, can you give me a drink? Because she was at the well. He goes, you're asking me for a drink, a Samaritan? Not only were they not supposed to talk to Samaritans, they weren't even supposed to use the same utensils. I mean, that's how much, how the level of animosity, they weren't even used to use the same utensils together. And Jesus, seeing this Samaritan come back to give thanks, he goes, wait a minute, there were 10 of you. Were there not? Where are the other 9? Is no one but this Samaritan, this foreigner came and gave thanks to God? And then he says to him, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. Right? Beautiful testimony and beautiful words from our Lord today. So leprosy, yes, it's a truly horrible and devastating disease. And if just a little bit about leprosy, it attacks the skin, the outer nerves, and the mucous membranes. That's the eyes, the nose, and the throat. And people inflicted with leprosy have often multiple lesions that accompany the loss of the senses. So they lose their sense of touch because as these outer nerves become infected and gangrenous, they start to lose the sense of smell, the touch, taste, hearing, eyesight, all of those things begin to go. And along with multiple lesions and that spread from the fingertips and the toes and eventually spreads to all parts of the body. And this is followed by gangrene in which the whole body becomes deformed and then begins to die. So, of course, leprosy victims have been shunned throughout all of human history. And as we hear today, as Jesus was entering the town, they were set apart from the larger community. But, you know, a petite and humble nun from Calcutta, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, showed the world that God's love is present even there. Right? In the deepest darkness of our lives, God is still there. God's light is penetrating into the darkness of our lives, into the darkness of our hearts, into the darkness of society, right? And shining his light brightly on all those who have the courage to turn toward and walk toward that light. You know, so most people with leprosy are despised by their neighbors and they're held at arm's length. That's why they stood a distance from Jesus and raised their voices so they could be loud enough to Jesus could hear them. But Jesus does not reject them. Just like Mother Teresa. I mean, she literally carried diseased women, men, children into her home for the dying. And she would say, like, we have to do what Jesus did. We must reach out to them, touch them, and make them feel welcome. You know, and so that, and there's a beautiful lesson for us. You know, how have we made lepers feel welcome? You know, those that other people look at and despise. No. We are called to love everyone. So someone that may be despised, maybe when you were a kid, the kid that was bullied because he was the wrong color or had glasses or had braces or his family was poor and they were continually being mocked at. But you were the one who befriended them. That's being Christ to them. That's helping to bring healing to the outcast, to the leper, if you will. Would love to maybe hear a testimony of how you've done that in the lives of someone else. Give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Again, if you want to share a testimony about how God has healed the leprosy within you or how you have helped someone who was an outcast, someone who was maligned, someone who society shunned, and you befriended them and showed them the love of Christ. Would love to hear from you as well. Again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So what we have to be careful of is that sin is the leprosy of our day. So remember, sin is the act when we freely and consciously choose to reject God's God and his law and live contrary to his divine will. So sin destroys the relationship, destroys relationships. Again, mortal sin particularly destroys relationship with God, with all of creation, and with each other. You know, it sets itself against God's love for us and turns our hearts away from God. So basically, it's choosing self-love and self-gratification over the love of God. Choosing myself over God. Putting myself first and not God first. Putting my needs first instead of the needs of others first. You know, and the analogy I like to use for this, because I fly all the time, is the airplane. You know, when you hear those, safety note, notifications at the beginning, it says if the mask drop, help put the other person's mask on first, and then put your mask on first, and then put the one on the other. Why? Because you, unless you're able to help yourself, you can't help others. And so by living as witnesses of God's love, we can then be those kinds of witnesses to others. So, you know, we can't help the pariah, the outcast, the leper, unless we ourselves have received healing from God's love and mercy. Once we've experienced that ourselves, now we can begin to share that beautiful truth with others. So again, would love to hear from you. How has God healed a particular leprosy in your life? Or how have you helped that leper, that outcast, the person that's been rejected, feel welcomed? Maybe through St. Vincent de Paul. You know, maybe just you're stopped at a traffic light. You give the person something to eat or buy them a meal or something like that. How have you really recognized and helped heal the leprosy in the lives of others through your witness and example of God's love? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call on this Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So just like leprosy, sin is a truly horrible and devastating disease that attacks not the mucous membranes or the skin. It attacks the heart, the mind, and the soul. And just like a person with leprosy loses their senses, feeling, taste, touch, smell, hearing, we lose our sense of sin. And we've allowed the lie of, well, I'm free to do whatever I want as long as I don't hurt anybody, to distort the meaning of true freedom in Christ. You know, we live by the cultural affirmations, by cultural way of thinking, and we don't put on the mind of Christ. Right. And so Christ is, and I'm sure the apostles were like, you know, I can imagine this scene. They're walking up into the town there and the lepers are there. Again, keeping their distance, and the apostles like, look, just walk by them, forget them, you know. And Jesus said, no, these are the I'm sure. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I'm just, you know, it doesn't say this in the Gospels, but I can imagine the reality of the scene where they're walking and they're trying to hold Jesus back from even going near them, you know, because they want to follow the law about ritual uncleanness and lepers and all that stuff. But Jesus had pity on them. He had mercy on them. Now, Jesus didn't walk up to them, right? I mean, he kept his distance and just said, go show yourselves to the priest, you know, because I think part of it may be, you know, with his apostles with him, you know, he didn't want to get that whole group of them too close to the lepers. Obviously, it wouldn't affect him, but it may have affected others. Or they, you know, would say, well, Jesus, no, we can't follow you because, you know, you're doing some crazy stuff like going near these lepers and stuff like that. So Jesus, you know, he just said, okay, because he's God. He can do it. Yep, go show yourself to the priest. That simple. And that led to the healing. And that's another connection there with the sacrament of reconciliation. We go show ourselves to the priest, and we come out of the confessional healed. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Caden is calling from Akron, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Caden, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon Harold. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. So I got a All story. Right. Last year, about this time, about 2 years ago, I lost my mother to cancer, and things were really bad. And I always kind of believed in God, but I turned away. And I'm a college student, and I really just got into secular college lifestyle, and I felt empty and really hopeless and desolate, and didn't really have any hope or drive to continue with life. You know, just felt really no purpose. But the one day I decided to check out a Catholic Mass, and in the back was my good friend now, Thomas Shaw. He's a focus missionary with the Fellowship of Catholic Youth Students. Basically, these missionaries travel around the world sharing the gospel on college campuses. And he took me in and invited me to a Bible study and would just hang out with me multiple times a day, whether we were getting food or just hanging out on the porch. And just they just loved me and took me in and listened to my story, answered like the 50 questions I had about the Catholic faith because I'm a convert. And through that, I found a relationship with Jesus. My life just completely transformed. I found purpose in this love and this deep sense of faith that I just had never had in my life before, encountering Jesus for the first time and adoration. It just changed my life today. And so now I'm carrying that on to people in my fraternity, starting a Bible study, and just really trying to live just by action, day by day, showing the love of Christ to others, because that's how it was shown to me.
Yes. Amen. Man, Caden, what a beautiful, awesome testimony. And you're right. Focus is doing amazing work on college campuses. You know, I've spoken, I've been invited by Focus actually to speak at a number of Newman centers. This is kind of the Catholic part of these secular universities. And they're doing tremendous work. And you're right. It's not just about the Bible study sitting in class. It's about that personal encounter, that personal witness, sitting down and talk with someone and hearing their story, empathizing with them and walking with them, journeying with them, in their road of faith. You know, it's both and. It's yes, it's the classroom stuff, but it's also, and I think even and more importantly, the other things, listening to your objections and answering them with love and not being judgmental and all of that. You know, I just wish, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about so many parents that I hear from when I travel about how heartbroken they are over their kids leaving the faith. You know, they grew up Catholic and left the faith when they went off to college. And I just wish that more of these young people would have the experience that you had. right? And so maybe we need to get focus in every college campus in the country. Or now through your example, Caden, you can now be that witness to others as well to help heal that leprosy and bring people back into communion with the faith. Love that. So hopefully you'll have a little bit of perspective now going into the readings for this Sunday. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to do part two of our discussion we initiated yesterday on gender ideology and Catholic schools. Now, remember, you can stream today's show and all the shows on Beacon of Truth by visiting Podcast Central at ew.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.